morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Is it where I can pick up? There we go. That sounds a little better. I was reminded of, Dad always told a story to us. I can just remember him telling us. He said a pastor, he went to church one day, and there was a farmer that went to church there. And this one morning, him and the farmer were the only ones there, the pastor and farmer. So he went on and did his sermon and preached the sermon to the farmer. And that done, he said, what do you think? He said, when I go to feed the cattle, he said, there's only one or two there. He said, I don't give them the whole load. So maybe this morning I won't give you the whole load. I give you a partial load. It's really interesting because I titled the lesson for last week, A Heart at Peace. And it's interesting that Jamie's verse about quiet, being in God's presence, just introduced what God was speaking to me. And I was reminded that there's things in life that bring us conflict almost every day. You know, there's just things that come up, and how we react to those is how God defines our character. How He, we've got all kinds of scriptures. I had a good lesson with Brody this morning, and we've got all kinds of scripture to tell us how to act and tell us what to do. And we're going to look at some scripture this morning. And I probably won't bring you the whole load. The snow's getting deeper as we fellowship today, and it's just. Thank you guys for making the effort to come out. We didn't know whether to cancel or not. By the time we decided we should, the musicians were already here getting ready for us to come this morning. Julie was on her way, and I said, let's go ahead and come for those that want to. And so thank you for joining us. It's just good to be together as a church. Let's pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you did prepare my heart to bring a message today. Lord, that each one of us, that you knew which ones would be here today. You knew which ones of us, and maybe, Lord, that I'm the only one that needed this lesson today. But I thank you for sharing it with me so that I could learn to walk in your ways. Father, to rely on you, to depend on you, even when the conflicts and the hardness, the things that are hard come our way. We just know, Father, that you care for us because of your word. You've told us over and over again the promises of your word. And you've shown us, Father, that you love us enough that you care for everything that we do, for everything that comes our way. You're right there in the midst of life, and we can depend on you to bring us through. So I thank you, Father. Thank you that we can have a heart at peace, even when we're in conflict. So, Father, I ask that you'll bless us, Lord, that I won't say anything that you don't want me to, but, Father, I'll speak the words that you want us to hear. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin today in Proverbs 14. The adult Sunday school class has been in Proverbs. It's going to be in Proverbs for quite a while. Brody and I talked about a couple of these verses this morning as well, and there's just so much good stuff in here. It's mostly for youth. These are verses that talk about just many different aspects of our life and learning how to grow, how to walk, how to live in the world that we're living in, and to live at peace with people. And verse 30 of chapter 14 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. What is a heart at peace? So I looked up peace, and it's an undisturbed state of mind. Absence of mental conflict, peace of mind. The verse Zephaniah that Jamie used was calm. And then it goes on to say, calm, quiet, tranquil. And when you think of tranquil, what do you think of? But steady or serene or... I think of a lake as tranquil because it's not moving like a river does. It's just, when there's no wind, it's like a mirror. A lake is like a mirror. It's just quiet. So there's a lot of different words that you can use to describe peace. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Right there, the third one. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and peace is one of those. And a heart at peace is the best way for me to describe a heart at peace. So I like the 23rd Psalm, and it talks so much about Jesus as our shepherd, taking care of us, watching over us. But when I think of a heart at peace, it reminds me so much of, so when I'm, because I grew up with dairy cattle, so we had a herd of over 100 to 120 cows all the time. Cows and heifers and calves, just at different stages in their lives. And when you see the whole group out on pasture, lying down, chewing their cuds, that's what reminds me of peace, peace of mind. They're content. There's none of them up, squirreling around and playing with each other. They're all just... I've just gone by pastures of herds of cows, and they're all laying down. They're laying there, usually on a south bank in the sun. If it's cool out, they're laying there, and they're just content to just lay there. There's nothing bothering them. And that's what reminds me of peace of mind, or a heart at peace. So I've used that analogy in my life many times. That's the calm that I see there. Proverbs 17:1, just turn over a couple more pages. It says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. There's just a lot of good verses that talk about peace, quiet, about allowing God to rule your day. I also like, so you've heard me use, so let's go back to Numbers. I'm just going to look at Numbers chapter 6. The priestly blessing. It says, and this is what the Lord said to Moses. He said, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So, when God turns his face toward us, and it gives us peace. And now, as you know, Moses wasn't allowed to look at God's face because of his brilliance. He wasn't allowed to look at it. But we know because of this verse that God does turn his face toward us so that we can see his beauty, so that we can see his glow, and it gives us peace. In John 14, 26 and 27, it says that my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Let me just go there so I don't mess it up. 14:6-7. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So by having a heart at peace, it takes away fear. It takes away trouble. As I said, there's a lot of things in life that trouble our hearts, that trouble what's going on around us. It's, if you're in the workplace, especially in construction, there's a lot of stress and stuff like that that can be in the workplace. Especially, Spanky knows, in commercial work. I did commercial work for a while. I didn't like it. I got away from that as fast as I could because it's stressful. They have deadlines. There are certain things that they want done each day. If you don't get them done, they want to penalize you, things like that. So I got away from that as quick as I could. I don't like stress. I like to always be at peace. It's mostly worked out for me. It doesn't always. Sometimes there's just some things that aren't very peaceful that we have to deal with homeowners. I used Jesus calming the sea for the, this. Let's turn to Matthew, or Mark, Jeff. Let's go into the, Gospel of Mark to look at this one. It was in two or three of them, but I just liked Mark. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. Went too far. There you go. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." So they were by a lake. Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large, and he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. I'm at verse 4, chapter 1, just to tell you where they are, what their scenario is. And so then after, when evening came that day, so they were there by the lake, he was teaching the crowds, there was a lot of them, so he got in a boat so he could teach them from the water, so they could hear him. And when evening came, he said, "Let's go over to the other side." So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. How many of you have ever been on Lake Erie fishing and the waves came up? It's not much fun, is it? I think that might be the worst lake that I've ever been on that can go from glass to waves in just minutes. I mean, it doesn't take long at all. And it's not fun when you're out there fishing on a calm lake and all of a sudden the waves are 3, 4 or more high. You're tossing around. It didn't take me long to lose my lunch because I don't ride well on a wavy lake. And so I don't enjoy it at all. I just didn't like the roughness. And that's what went on here. It says a furious squall came up. Waves broke over the boat. And Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. I just sleep when there's a waves and stuff. Well, there was a lesson happening here. And so the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Well, of course he does. But he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." So why don't we then say to our conflict or problem or whatever you want to call it, "Quiet, be still. Life and death are in the power of our tongue." Then we need to learn to speak to our problems, to remove them from our lives. Just as Jesus, and I think that's what he says when we go to him and say, "Lord, I need help with this today." He probably says, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So they went from a calm lake to a lake like Lake Erie that was, well, if it was tossing the boat around, there was water coming into the boat. It says it nearly swamped them. So now, when I still go and spend an evening with Stan every week, and he's talked to me so many times about his time in the Navy. And he was on a boat, and he said, you know how big the Navy boats are. He said they were in squalls that were, they had 60-foot waves. So he said, you ride up the one side, and he said, we could actually walk up the wall of the ship. And then as they come down and went up the other side, they would walk back down onto the floor and back up the other wall. He said it was tipping the boat that much. It was just rocking. And so they were, and he said, you just went through that. And it just wasn't a short squall. He said that was for days. He said it's very, very hard, but they were in a typhoon apparently. And they talk about that, and I can't even imagine being used to that, getting used to it at all. But he talked about it like it was not really a big deal. He said they played games, and because they couldn't really do maneuvers and that kind of thing while they were in a typhoon. And so they were kids, you know, 19, 17, 18. He was only 17 when he enlisted. He lied and went in at 17. Stan's having a tough time. He doesn't really want us to help him. We tried doing that. And he didn't like, so he's Stan has always been an independent guy. And he wants to do it himself, but he can't anymore. So finally he's got some help coming from, I think it's Area on Aging, one of the government programs is helping. Somebody's coming, and a lady's coming and cleaning for him 5 hours a week. So he has somebody that's there 3 days a week for a couple of hours each day, and helping him to keep the place clean, doing dishes. He can't do things anymore. His oxygen level and his COPD is so bad that if he gets up, tries to do things, his heart rate goes up, his oxygen goes down, and just hurts all the time. So he's just, he sits there, and he's really glad for my visit. So if any of you guys have a time that you can go just share an hour with him, I would encourage you to do it, because he loves visitors. He has a retired guy that lives in Nagoya that comes to see him almost every day as well. So there's a couple of us that come and share time with him. But he went to the hospital this week just because he got to feeling so bad that he decided he wouldn't go. He had Patsy and I come down so she could check him, and she told him, she said, I think it would be good for you to go to the hospital because your lungs are, there's no, nothing happening in there. There's no air movement. You need to get checked out. So we finally did go. And that was Wednesday night while we were at the ball game in Lancaster. I got a text from him. He said, I'm at the hospital. I'm going to the hospital. I called a squad. So he took her advice and decided to go. He has some kind of lung infection in his lungs. So they got him on antibiotics. I took supper Thursday night then. Usually I go Tuesday nights. But he was feeling much better because if they give him steroids, breathing treatment with steroids in it, it clears right up his lungs and he can breathe normal again. And I don't know, that's to say, why don't they just give COPD patients enough steroids to keep them opened up so that they can breathe? Because her sister was the same way, and it's just really, really hard to watch them struggle to get their breath. And so just pray for Stan. But Jesus calmed the storm, and he calms our storms as well. I want to finish up today in Mark, or John again, chapter 16. Just a couple verses there, and then we're going to call it a day. So you don't get the whole load today, you'll just get what it takes for 20 people, or however many there are of us. Verses 31 to 33. Jesus says here in verse 31, you believe at last, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And that comfort to me as well. I'm never alone. God is the Father's always with me. I can go to Him anytime I want, and He's there to calm the storm. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So He's overcome the world. That's what we live in. We don't have to deal with it on our own. We're never alone. We don't have to deal with our troubles on our own. And I haven't seen anywhere where it says, because I love God, because I am His child, I am going to stay out of trouble. That verse very definitely says, you will have trouble. But take heart. He says, I've overcome the world. And He did. He overcame death. We don't even have to worry about dying because we're going to live forever with Him. So it doesn't really matter what happens here. This journey right here on earth is short. 80, 90 years would be a normal lifespan, probably 70 to 90. For some of us, we have ancestors much older than that even. Had a couple, an uncle and an aunt that lived over 100. So I could be one of those that will be with you for another 28 years. I don't know, maybe. Who knows? I don't expect to because my body hasn't held up that well with the blood clots and all. I've got to deal with that all the time. So when you have a blood clot, then you're susceptible to them. So you have to deal with it the rest of your life. So I have actually, because of the last one, I had apparently another one after the one in 2014. And so he said, because of that one, he said, I have to leave you on blood thinners for the rest of your life. So that's me. That's why I'm cold in the winter. Blood thinners makes my blood too thin to stay warm, I guess. It flows too fast. I don't know. So anyway, there's the half load. If you have any prayer needs this morning, I will be here to pray with you.